Have you ever had somebody say, like, I don't have time for a new friend?
Hey, everybody, you're listening to What Are You Doing in Denmark, the podcast that helps you make Denmark make sense. My name is Derek Hartman, and I've been living in Denmark since 2017. And today we're going to continue talking about making friends in Denmark. And I'm joined by the lovely and friendly, effervescent.
I try.
Annie Samples.
Yes, my name is Annie Samples. I've been living here since 2019. And after a few years, I eventually made some friends, and we're going to tell you all about how we did that today.
Yes. And Annie, before we took a break, you were telling us a little bit about some reverse culture shock or some times where you really noticed the difference in socializing here in Denmark versus socializing when you were visiting back in the U.S.
I went to the U.S. for like the first time in years over last Christmas, and it felt so insane. And I remember it feeling almost like this like weird game where I could just like go up and talk to anybody and they liked it and like they understood me. And I was like, oh, this is so interesting. But it's kind of fun being able to do that.
It is.
You know?
It is funny going back because not only does the small talk kind of smack me in the face at first, but yeah, that ability that, oh, I can just go up and there's no language issue at all.
I can be funny, you know?
Yes,
yeah. And they're like going to understand what I'm saying. And I forgot about that. I like feel like so much of my sense of humor was lost, especially when I'm trying to speak to Danes because I don't want to be misunderstood. But again, most Danes are generation and younger. We're in on the same jokes a lot of the time now because of just like the more global environment.
Yeah, like a global culture that's sort of...
Yeah, it's really fun. And it's very like surprising and enjoyable now. Do you ever find it to be, when you're in the U.S., almost exhausting to hear so much English?
I was very much experiencing that.
Yeah.
Well. It's overwhelming. And it's also overwhelming. You don't realize how different it is when you can understand everyone around you.
Yeah.
You're like, because I'm not used, you know, I can understand some Danish, but not everything. I can't understand when somebody's speaking with a dialect or very, very fast or using some Danish slang.
Yeah, so I can just like tune it out real easy.
I can tune it out. But in the U.S., hearing people speaking English or even going to visit the U.K. and hear it, like understanding every conversation around me is not something I'm used to. My brain has kind of...
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I feel so stimulated when I do that.
So stimulated. You don't realize how much peace you have here. And it's so nice to tune it out. And then people, most people who speak English do it very loudly.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot, no shade in that regard. It's just a cultural difference. But yeah, I find when I go back to the U.S. or go to English speaking cultures, I'm like, wow, that is a loud, distinct sound that I'm understanding all of.
Oh, the whole cafe is hearing your conversation.
Yeah.
Jeff, that's really nice. Yeah.
Do you ever, this is complete sidebar, but do you ever like go out in public here in Denmark and you hear American tourists and you pretend like you're not American?
Yeah. Okay. I don't pretend like I'm not American, but sometimes I do hear American tourists and it's, there's something.
And
yeah.
Like,
I feel like I feel like
America.
I feel like I bet. Yeah. But it, sometimes I'm like,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Rein it in a little bit.
Right. It's like,
You know, lower the volume, lower the, you know, the main character energy.
The main character energy, for sure. And, you know, of all people, I have it, but I try to at least, like, publicly talk about code switching. I'm just like, bring it down.
Yeah.
You know, wear a cap and just, like, go undercover because I guess that Yonta law really set in. I don't want to be detected. I don't want to stand out in any way. And I guess that's just sort of, like, the American mentality is you are an individual. It's okay to stand out. And it is. It's just different.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's, I guess maybe it has changed me more than I realized. Maybe I become more of a coconut than I realized.
Yeah, and that's okay.
And, and it's okay. And also, I don't think that any culture on vacation or on holiday is always acting the, you know, acting the way that they do. I don't think it's always their baseline behavior.
That's
a lot of the worst things that people think of Americans are like very like tourist focused, like always wanting to adjust their food based, like do something different than what's on the menu, always wanting some obscure type of sugar substitute in their coffee, things like that. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. But yeah. Also, if they lived here, that would go away. Like
that's
it did
so
for
true.
Me. And I think it's just people in the U.S. are very used to adapting. And I think people from most countries are used to adapting pretty quickly.
Yeah. That's it's good to be generous with that. It's also true what you're saying about, like, you know, maybe that's not how they would be 100% of the time. A lot of times, you know, when you're traveling, you're also like exhausted,
that too.
A bit stressed, a bit like it's a kind of a vulnerable position to be in. So maybe we should give the Americans a bit more. They can yell. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm not always my best self when I'm jet lagged and, you know, exploring a new country. And I think the other thing for Americans, that part of where that stereotype comes from is like we can travel a pretty far distance and be culturally understood. We're maybe blind to the fact that there are more nuances to culture just in the matter of a couple train stops.
Yeah.
And there's regional cultures in the U.S. and things like that, but you're gonna get your sugar substitute in California, and you're gonna get it in Georgia, and
it's
that's
so
as far
true.
Away as Portugal and Moscow. So
wow.
You know, yeah.
Oh my god, it's so wild still to me.
We did also get some listener questions.
Yay,
about,
we love those.
Yeah,
I can do a little role playing moment because. My name is Josh. I'm single, 32, and I live in Boston, but originally from Virginia. I've been shortlisted for a move to my company's Danish office, and I'm worried I won't be able to make friends in Denmark. The fear of clashing with Danish social culture is giving me pause. I found your podcast while doing my research and also learned that Danish social culture seems to be built around family. The impression that I'm left with is that Danish adults aren't inclined to make new friends. I've been described as outgoing and quirky, and I fear I could be too much for Danes. I have plenty of friends in the U.S., and I value my friendship circle deeply. Do you have any advice? I can relate to this so much, honestly. I really came from a very strong group of friends here. Again, it's like the expectations, the patience.
I mean, good on you for doing the research. And
honestly.
Yeah. Like, you did more preparation than I think I did. But I mean, look, if you want to make it work, you're going to make it work anywhere. And you may be too much for some people, but other people are going to really embrace that. You obviously found a friendship circle that did. Yeah, I think it just kind of goes to a lot of what we've been talking about. I mean, there are definitely some tips that we can go through, but I wouldn't let that keep you from pursuing a career advancement and the opportunity
it's
to live
abroad.
It's
worth a try, right? And as we've said before, give it 2-3 years, honestly. And I know that sounds so long.
Yeah.
But it can really take that long to really feel like you're settled in any capacity. But also, like him saying that he's quirky, I think there's actually a really good... What level of quirky are we talking? Because I was at Central Station the other day and there were like so many like anime cosplayers up in there.
Oh, right.
You know? There's
yes.
a really good like subculture of like video game, you know.
Yeah.
So what are we talking here?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Josh, let us know.
Let us know.
But I definitely think that, and maybe I've read this sort of as well that, you know, it's, you know, conformity and things like that. I don't think, I don't find that anybody will judge you for any quirks.
No, honestly.
I feel like things are a lot more forgiving. Maybe not, you know, drastically. Like you wouldn't be accepted in Virginia or in Boston for dyeing your hair or doing cosplay as an activity or things like that. But I do think that that's just as accepted in Denmark.
In fact, you might get even more left alone for it.
Right?
You know, because almost the Jantelag thing, people aren't really going to like... make any comments on it, which
they'll judge you privately.
Yeah, great, and thanks for that. You know, but, they'll judge you privately.
No, but true. I don't think they're gonna confront you on these quirks.
Yeah.
The one thing about I don't necessarily find that Danish social culture is about like centered around a family. That stuck out to me.
I was going to say that too.
I think family is important. I find that a lot of my friends who live or that live here but grew up in other parts of Denmark do often return to those to their hometowns or to the regions that they come from for different family events and birthdays and things like that. So
Normal.
Maybe that's where part of that comes from. Or maybe that was written somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people that plan to have kids here do stay close with their family because like more and more far really are big helpers.
Yeah.
In that context, but I wouldn't say it's 100% necessary. And I even have friends that live here in Copenhagen and maybe their parents are still somewhere on Jutland and they don't really get a chance to see them so often. And they feel like they're kind of in a similar situation as me and my husband. And yeah, we do have that sort of relating level. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's like 100% necessary to have family here. Of course, it can be nice, just like it would be anywhere else. But you'll make friends. 32 is still like teen vibes here. Yeah. So,
so true.
You know, you can get out and enjoy it. Yeah, single? Yeah. No, he's gonna have no problem.
I think it is definitely harder to come here as a single person.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky that I came here with my partner, that I did have somebody that I could do things with and try things with. But there are going to be networks of people looking to do that.
Exactly.
There are groups you can join, meetup groups and all kinds of groups on social media and things like that.
Mm.
There are events in different places. If you're not in one of the cities, you may have to travel a little bit for that. But that's part of wherever you move to. You know, if you're moving for work, it probably will be to a city perhaps.
Right.
So
love that.
It may not be bad, or as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
Being a little more remote. But I think, I would say give it a shot because
totally.
It's going to be the same as when you moved from Virginia to Boston, just with a slightly higher degree of difficulty.
Right.
And you will find your quirky.
Yeah. It's great that he's
quirky internationals too that you can that you can befriend.
100%.
I think if you're if you're too much for somebody, I feel like they're gonna be more likely to tell you that here than they would in American culture where they may just outright ignore you or ghost you and never tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I find that like some of that directness that you
have you received that before?
Because I'm not too much, so I don't. No.
Couldn't be me.
No, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
You are.
I think I find that like Danes are more likely to tell me like, "Hey, you did this thing and it bothered me."
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. Or I found that in the past with my Danish friends in a way that is refreshing because I found that to be a good experience.
Yeah, it can be nice to have that constructive criticism.
Yeah,
but no, it's great that he's outgoing. I think like, you know, if he can be outgoing and persistent, and I think the biggest piece of advice that I would give in anybody relocating here and worried about it, don't make any rush decisions in the winter. You know, because
give it a full year.
Give it a full, you know,
even longer, but go through every season.
Yeah, all of the seasons. Wait for spring to come because oh my gosh, when that comes, you're like, I don't care if I have friends. This is the best thing ever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whereas in the winter, you're like, I wish I had a community.
Yeah, I would say one thing I notice is that like befriending Danes may seem like it's more work. Mm-hmm. Than in Boston or Virginia or even other peach cultures. You know, if you move here from Madrid, maybe it's easier to meet people in Spain, a bit more of a peach culture as we talked about before. It is a little more work, but I do think that it will pay off. It's almost like dating. I've seen it described as dating where you almost have to tell somebody like, hey, I enjoy you.
Yeah.
Almost like I have a friend crush on you. Yeah. Will you go hang out with me sometime?
Yeah.
And obviously it's platonic, but you know, it's...
That's a nice
it's
directness.
It's just a different culture.
That
yeah.
very much falls in line with Danish culture. So we love that. And yeah, I think even if it feels like that when you are just an adult making friends in general, like you have to make your intentions clear and move forward. But yeah, I think, you know, there's like 8 pretty solid tips in here.
Yeah.
That we should probably convey to people. I know that we've scattered quite a few throughout here so far.
Yeah, it never hurts to touch back on the ones that we've already covered. But I think one is to go slow.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you don't, just like in dating, you don't want to come on too strong. You don't want to seem like a weirdo being like, hey, I just met you. Do you want to come to my house for coffee right now?
Yeah.
You know, that could be
like
a little
off-putting,
off the street. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, you do maybe have to have a few attempts to get to know somebody before you invite them to do something socially. And you can get that in or like sort of an introduction to spending time with them by doing a club or a sport or an activity or volunteering, doing something to kind of get to know them, and then take it a step further, maybe based on your common interests.
Right.
So it's like, you know, if you do something because maybe related to music, well, then eventually after three or four times of doing that activity or volunteering and, you know, then ask somebody, hey, I'm going to go see this band that I like over the weekend. Would you like to join? I know you also like folk music or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Just take it slow.
I remember when my son started school, one of them was having a bit of a tricky time making friends, retaining friends, being accepted into friend groups. And he would kind of get excluded from games and things like that. And when I talked to his teachers about why, they said, you know, he's just a bit too American. And I was like, oh, is that something that we need to change? She said, no, it's really great. He's very outgoing and open and just goes into things assuming everybody's his friend. And I guess maybe Danish children aren't that way. And it's not that, again, it's not in a mean, it's really hard to convey that it's not in a mean way, but it just takes time and you have to sort of like play things out slowly. So I can see maybe to Danes, us Americans can come on quite strong, especially when you think about it in the context of a kid who, like, they really don't have many filters, you know, like he's just going in like, hey, we're best friends, let's go. And they're like, hold on, you know, like it took some time. But now I think they understand it a bit more. And if it's a Dane specifically that you're trying to be friends with or wanting to be friends with, I found that they are really generous with like wanting to share their culture and traditions. So if you're like lonely for Christmas or Easter, it's very easy to get an invitation to a lunch in that way. Yeah. And as we know, they're planners.
Yes.
It's good to plan far in advance, usually a couple months. And, you know, if you have your invitations declined a few times, it's okay to be persistent.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that before where somebody just can't make it work that time. And I know in American culture, sometimes people will make that excuse almost like, oh, I can't this weekend, whether or not it's true. And I'm like, I didn't even tell you if it was Friday, Saturday or Sunday.
Right,
but you know, so sometimes you're not, you know, if they're trying to just be polite.
That's so true.
And excuse
it. No, you're going to get an honest.
You're going to get an honest answer, I think.
Yeah. So that's really good. Yeah. I am seeing here, you know, have you ever had somebody say like, I don't have time for a new friend?
I've had that indirectly said, but I know people who have like been told that.
Told, and like, it's valid. That's so hard. Like I totally understand. And I wish that I could be friends with everybody that I meet.
Yeah.
And it's crazy trying to juggle that. And how do you do that? That's so hard. So that feels so cutthroat.
It is, in a way I appreciate it because I feel like I think in American culture, and I think probably in some other cultures as well, it's almost considered impolite to decline an invitation to something.
Yeah.
But one thing I do like in socializing with Danes and in Danish social culture is that it's very much thought of as like, don't come to my birthday party if you're not going to spend the whole night there.
Oh, interesting.
You know, or like if I'm inviting you over for a dinner party, you're not going to leave to attend another function or things like that. Whereas I feel in the U.S., often socializing. And again, this is like maybe when I moved here, I was still kind of that like early 30s like culture where it would be very normal to be like, oh, I have something else that night, but I'm going to stop by.
Yeah, and that's not kosher here.
I feel like it.
Oh, interesting. I don't get out much, okay? Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's impossible, but I think if it was especially like a dinner party or something, many people, not everybody, like, but I think many people would be a little off-put by that.
Interesting.
So I feel like sometimes you do have people declining things simply because they want to be fully present for you and not because they can't at least stop by. Like, I think they would be more likely to say, I have dinner plans that night.
Yeah.
So I can't, I don't want to sacrifice any presence for anybody. I want to be fully present at the dinner or fully present for your event.
I love that, honestly. Yeah. When I hear these kinds of things, I'm like, I think I was just meant to live here. Yeah, right. You know, like I'm a bit introverted. When I was telling you yesterday, like if I have one thing to do in a day, I'm like, that's my thing that I'm doing for the day, and I can't make any other plans. I have to focus on that, and that's it. So I respect that, and I think that is a really good way to create a strong basis for a friendship too. Yeah. So it's good to know that, like, when you make friends here, they're going to be strong ones.
And I think another aspect is sort of like trust, right? Mm. So like, I think you're trusted to be able to take it the right way if somebody does decline a few times because of that, and also to know that it's not personal.
Yeah.
Or they would tell you.
Yeah.
And for you to do the same.
Totally. Like,
it's just sort of that trust. But if you know that about the culture, then it won't be a clash or a shock for you.
Right. Yeah.
But it requires that experience or even us telling you won't necessarily make it easy the first couple of times that happens to you. On that trust note, I think it's also important that you show up on time, mm-hmm. and that if you say like, hey, we should grab coffee, that you actually follow through and make that plan.
Yeah.
Because I think that does, both of those things happen a lot in peach cultures, but also I think in the US, where somebody will say, oh yeah, we should really do dinner soon.
Yeah.
And then you never hear from them until 6 months later at that next function that you attend that they're at.
See, this is where I struggle because I do, like I said, I want to be friends with everybody that I meet, and I'll be like, we should do dinner together. And I do mean that. But then like when the realities of my life set in, like,
sure, it's hard.
I forget to text back or, I literally just don't have the time or fall asleep before dinner even starts. That's hard. So I guess you have to like just juggle your own personal challenges as well. It's not easy.
Yeah. It's very much under promise, over deliver, I think.
Good call. Yeah, yeah. I need to be better about that. Yes. Yeah. I just get so excited.
Yeah. No, you want to say yes to everything. I get that.
Yeah. So what do you think about like the culture with alcohol here and everything? That's something that I get asked about quite a bit.
Yeah. I think that can be a little bit touchy to navigate because, mm-hmm. A lot of social events do involve alcohol or drinking. If you're a sober person, that may be something that could impact you.
Yeah.
At the same time, it can also be an easier way to make inroads and get to know people. Mm. And I think that's where some of the coconut outer shell melts away.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I love it. Coconut shell is drowned in Carlsberg.
I'm picturing like one of those drinks in a coconut with a straw. Like a pina colada.
Oh, sign me up. Yeah.
That coconut becomes a pina colada, and then everybody's talking and nobody is afraid of small talk anymore.
But another thing that I have noticed, again, with like the younger generations, they're like, oh, yeah, I don't really drink that much. Yeah. I don't drink at all.
Yeah.
So that could be something that changes too.
I think that is definitely changing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do enjoy little snaps here and there.
Yeah, me too.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but
loosens things up.
Yeah, it's fun. I love that.
Okay. And then a few other things that maybe could be pitfalls or potentially make people a little bit uncomfortable. Mm. I think one is sort of the culture of like not always being PC.
Yeah.
And also sort of like roasting. Like I feel like a lot of Danish friends, when you first meet them, kind of pressure test your personality a little bit in seeing what kind of jokes you can take, whether they're jokes at your expense or just sort of like
in general.
And that can be a nice thing if you look at it the right way. Having a little bit of a thick skin can go a long way in knowing, oh, okay, That person can take a joke.
Yeah, it just seems like in general, don't take things too personally.
Yeah.
And I think that it is super important to remember that, it is a very small country, and until more recently, it has been extremely homogenous.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that there might be some educational moments that you can share with your Danish office, like, hey, maybe this is something that we wouldn't say. And typically I found that people are really open to feedback in that way, constructive criticism in that way. And if they're not, I don't know, where do you go from there?
Yeah, I mean, I think a good rule of thumb is overall to be yourself and to be honest, like you said, to give that constructive criticism, but also to hold on to the best things that you came here with. And then try to adapt to some of these newer ones. That could be a challenge. Yeah. at first.
I think it's actually a really good time to move to Denmark because you get all of the coziness of the Danish culture, but then people are really, I think, more open-minded to internationals.
Yeah.
Like I said, willing to take some constructive criticism. If you say like, hey, that joke doesn't fly with me, they know they can pivot. You know, culturally, we have a lot of things in common these days, whether it's just, you know, pop culture.
Yeah.
But you know what? I really enjoy that. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be any problem for people to move here and make friends.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I really think that, like, the big takeaways, I think, are just having realistic expectations. Yes, it may be more difficult than other places, but there's cultural reasons behind it. And it's not because people are mean.
Right.
It's because people are slower to warm up. But once you're in, you're going to really make solid and deep friendships.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how it works here.
That's such an important and simple way to put it. It's not because people are mean.
No.
It's just going to take time. I think people hear those statistics and they're like, oh my gosh, there must be nightmares over there.
I mean, it is alarming. Like, oh, 53rd out of 53, what's going on there? And it's like, well, you just have to understand that there's a lot of things that are going to be happening at once when you move here, but you will make those friendships.
100%.
And they will come. And I wouldn't want to give up or dissuade somebody like Josh from moving here. No. He's going to be making friends at some point.
Just fine. I love that.
Quirks and all.
We love that. Josh, join us.
Yes.
Except I will overpromise and be like, yes, let's play dodgeball together.
Exactly,
and
yes.
And then I'm like, oh, wait, I have to take my kid to dodgeball practice.
Well, that's everything that we know about making friends. The rest is up to whoever's listening.
I love it.
Yeah.
If you fail to make friends here, it's on you at this point. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
We did our best.
That was kind of a Danish joke right there.
Yeah, that was a very Danish humor joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, have that thick skin and know how to take things. But no, we are really glad that you're all here with us and friends of the pod. And we thank you for listening and watching today.
Yeah.
And,
Tune in next time.
Yeah, we'll be back in your feed with even more. What are you doing in Denmark?
Yes, all the time.